7th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning verse 1, reading through verse 6. Judge not, that you be not judged. That's something right there, isn't it? For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Now, if you believe the Bible, I'd scare you to death. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Not getting much better. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Judge not, that you be not judged. Don't criticize with an unkindly spirit. Do not be bitter. Do not be moved by the spirit of meanness. That's what the Bible is saying. You've got to take this word. We must judge in the right sense. We must judge in the sense of forming opinions and estimates of one another. There has to be that knowledge of our relationship with God and our lives. That this is not the kind of judgment that's forbidden in the text that I've read here tonight. We may get the true meaning of the word by another use made of it elsewhere in the Bible. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:17. Now the same word translated judged in our text is translated condemned in John 3:17. Condemn not is what he said, lest you be condemned. The same identical word. Now, again, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, am I called into question? Same word. One man esteemeth one day above another. Same word. Now, when we're told not to judge, when God speaks to us not to judge, we're warned against the self-righteousness which condemns everybody who does not do exactly like we want them to do. Now, you may say, why are you dealing with this on this Wednesday night? I know a lot of people can't be here tonight that would be if they could. But for the most part, people that love spiritual things show up in services other than Sunday morning. And the hope of a real revival rests with the people. I don't feel that anybody in this room that sitting here tonight that's a Christian, I don't expect to see you anywhere drunk or carrying on in that manner. But it is in this line that revival is often stopped by our attitude one toward another, by how that we condemn and judge situations and things. Now, the spirit that is condemned here in this text is a spirit of infallibility. Just know more than everybody else. You know, just know how everybody else ought to be. It is that mean spirit of infallibility that the joy. Has a little conviction and he sets it right in his own life then everybody's going to hell because they didn't follow suit. Amen. I've saw people that damn other people for the slight. I'll never see them on the knees of praying. That same human. Never see them on the knees of praying. Just that's, you know, I said, you know, he that is spiritually, man or woman that don't pray, there's nothing about them spiritual. They can't look at anything in the light that God does. They look at it from their own jaundiced viewpoint, their own thinking. Now, Jesus tells us that such judgment doesn't fall on the ground. You're doing more than merely uttering words when you pass such judgment on a fellow creature. It's more than just words you say. You're sowing seeds which you'll one day have to reap in the form of a harvest. In measure you measured out, it will come back. Yes, sir. What you sow, you will eventually reap. It's because people get by with things for a while. They believe that they've defeated the law of sowing and reaping. But sometimes, some people get it back in dribbles. It's a whole lifetime. Others escape it for a while. Then it comes in the form of a storm. I mean, the whole life is cut out. But it will get back to us. Now, don't suppose you're merely passing opinion upon your fellow when you begin to judge in this manner. I believe what I've seen and the way God is dealing the people that I've just talked to and have talked to me of the things that God is dealing with the spirit of the people, that we're really on the verge of a real breakthrough spiritually. I feel like in these altars, people are lingering here around these altars. There is a spirit of a breaking, and people are calling and saying to me, you know, I've had this in my life, and I've just excused it, and I want to be free. Now, that's the kind of a spirit that always precedes a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It isn't just this legalistic attitude. It's a spiritual conviction that brings with it to me that I must get myself right. It doesn't bring to me that I got to make everybody else do what I'm doing, but it brings to me the attitude that I myself may be right. I had a man to tell me 5 times he didn't have a television. I said, well, that's wonderful. You know, if you can't handle it, you ought not to have one. I rarely ever watch it, but it wouldn't help me not throw it out in the front yard. You know, I don't know what he was trying to tell me. It didn't really matter to me. I don't watch only what I don't watch. But if you don't have one, that's good. If that's the way you are, if I didn't have one, I wouldn't have a note on the bulletin board out there that everybody in this church had to get rid of a television. I just wouldn't have that. You know, if God doesn't deal with you about it, you just go to your neighbors and watch it anyway. So you may as well have it at your house. You'll give an account for every idle word. You'll be made to feel the bitterness of your own speech. The cruelty of your own judgment will come back like a devouring flame. I'm talking to you tonight. I know there's things in this world that are too bad to talk about, the wickedness of this world. But it isn't the world I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to the body of Christ. And that God is wanting to bring through us a testimony of Christ in this community. Through us, a testimony of Christ. Paul, writing to young Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. Now, the emphasis there is let. In other words, he's saying that if your testimony is despised, you let it be so. He said, but be thou an example of the believer. Not to the believer, but of the believer. In other words, when folks look at you, may they say, now if there's a Christian alive, that's one of them. Be thou an example unto the believer. And if you are, then this judgmental spirit won't be a part of it. It won't be that you're looking around at the other fellow trying to find what's wrong. Now let us understand what Jesus meant by this With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Are you listening to me? Shake your head. Just, you know, every now and then. That's good. Wave your arm. That makes me know that it's going to be all right. Now, did he mean literally that someone would pass the same opinion upon us that we passed upon others? Is that what he's saying? I don't think at all. I don't think that little narrow sense of the word. If so, he would have repeated the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if that's what he was talking about. I don't believe he laid down a much more broader judgment here in this. Listen, he meant that somehow all society would encounter us in our own spirit. Amen. Somehow, by some mysterious action, divine providence, society would condemn us with a condemnation that we passed on others. More than just somebody pass an opinion on you that you passed on. Somehow, in some mysterious, strange action, in the providence of God, this would all come back. Now, you've been often puzzled to know how it was that such and such consequences arose from such and such acts. Nobody in this building hasn't had things happen, and they just wonder why it is. You know, I paid my tithe. I did this. How many times have I heard this? Or maybe I better say, how many times have I said that? That may be better. You know, I paid my tithe. Amen. I did this. I went to Sunday school. And here yet, look what's happened. You've wondered the unkindness of men and the bitterness of their judgment upon you. Why would they do that? Has it ever occurred to you, listen, has it ever occurred to us that the reason may possibly have been in yourself? The reason may possibly have been in yourself. A reason that had been sleeping but for many years, but the root was there. The fruit had to come. I said the fruit had to come. Remember your unkindness to your father and mother. Did you hear me? Look, I'm long time. My father's been dead since 1967. Some of you, both your mother and father are gone. You wonder why things come, why things happening. Well, I'm not saying that so, but remember, if it's so, the unkindness that you showed. This Bible says, honor your mother and father that your days may be long and well on this earth. If they're not going well, it just may have been. It took root back there. It's coming. I mean, somehow it's coming forth. Listen, remember the nuisance you were in the church 20 years ago. How you talked against everything. How that every time the leader moved, remember the churches you've been in. Amen. Where you were at odds with everything that went on. I'm talking to you. You wonder why things come back and a storm breaks around your house. You remember those sessions of gossip and how that when things were done, you may not have spoke up there, but behind it all, you had a little whispering going. You had a little campaign going that was against, instead of standing up and speaking while it was all there, you waited. You waited till the meeting was over. Then back there behind it all, you set in motion things. Well, let me tell you, it may be coming home now. You may, why would God let this happen? Well, you may have sowed the seed in yourself. Amen. You remember, always ready to be against or set straight every move of the pastor and other leaders. Always set there, ready to put everybody straight. Well, if you just give a little thought what's coming down the pike. You know, I don't understand why all my children not saved. Remember how you used to damn everybody else's kids? Amen. You never had a minute's patience for them. No, you never had 1 ounce of patience. And you remember when the pastor's kids or when the deacon's kids messed up and looked like they were straying, you pointed your finger and, oh, yes, sir, look at there. Well, the chicken come back around to roost. Amen. It will, folks, I'm telling you. I said it will. It'll come back. I'm just saying this. All of this has to be stopped. Amen. I have to be an example. You have to be an example of the believer. All that's coming back. You sowed the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You eat the forbidden fruit, and the harvest is coming up. The harvest is coming. Find a kind man. Find him whose thoughts are always of a charitable nature, who refuses to speak a harsh, unfeeling word against a fellow man. The time will come when society will throw its arms around him and nourish him. No matter how much they resented him, there'll come a time when he'll be honored. What is true of the kind man is also true of the bitter. Amen. There are some people who cannot speak kindly or sweetly. They never see anything but the cockroaches. They never see anything in a life but the strange and the bad. They've never in their lifetime saw the good that's in another human being. There are those kind of people. You know that? I'm telling you, I've had to deal with them. I've had to deal with them. Never had anything good to say about another human being. Such will reap what they've sown. They'll get what they've given. It will find its way back. In our text, Jesus proceeds to give a vivid application of those words and to accent us with the point of a sword. And why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's thine own eye? I've watched this optical surgery a lot of times. Oh, with what precision. You know, I had an old book of characters of the Bible. An old man had preached, Dr. Lofton. He lived 150 years ago. That old book had some pictures, illustrations in it. And he showed, you know, on this text right here, beam running out of this man's eye, looked like a log, you know, and he's down there trying to find a splinter, you know, and the beam keeps a butting the head of the man that he's trying to help. Why beholdest thou the mote and don't consider the beam that is in your own eye? How can you see what's wrong with other people when there's so much wrong with you? That's what he's saying. I want all you folks that are perfect, you ought to get on this side so I don't shoot at you now. You know, so that this doesn't get near where you are. But I can tell you, it isn't that person committing adultery that's keeping us from having an old-fashioned Holy Ghost outpouring like the book of Acts. I can tell you that. That one's already out. I said, that one's already out. It isn't that drunkard going to keep us from having it. It is this kind of a mean spirit sitting right down in the middle of the church that's going to prevent the Holy Spirit from moving. Amen. This is the thing. Now, are we sure we've laid hold, though, I believe, of the right meaning of these words Jesus intended to convey about this mote and the beam? What is the beam in the eye of the judge? Does it mean that I condemn little faults in others while excusing larger faults in myself? Perhaps that's a part of the meaning. But I do believe that there's a different light that we have to understand this in. Here's a man about whom no fault can be found of the usual kind. Yet, he's continually judging other men, sentencing some to darkness, others to oblivion. What is the beam? What is the beam in his eye? I believe we come to the right meaning right here in this whole lesson. See, it's all of a piece. That beam is, he is a censorious man, a sensuous man. That's the beam in his eye. He can't judge, you can't judge nobody right. Amen. I think what Jesus is saying, that the beam in that eye, him trying to get a mote out of above the beam, is that awful, mean, censorious spirit. Always looking at a fault in somebody else. Looking for something wrong with somebody. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm just glad, and every day I'm glad, to rub shoulders with saints. I know they're not perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. The people that's in this room tonight, Oh, listen, they are angels compared to what's out there. Amen. The folks you have to deal with out there. And I know that we're not perfect. They are. If you scratch around long enough, find something wrong with all of us. But I tell you what, you can find a whole lot of good about us. Amen. If you want to. Yes, sir. You can find a whole lot that's worth preserving. And everybody in this room tonight, you can find that which is worth keeping. Now, oh, listen. I believe he's sensuous. That's a beam. That he judges other men with an unleavened spirit is a beam in his eye. That he judge other people out with an unloving spirit. Just to point up their wrong. You know, just to point up. Amen. Compared with any other fault, the other's a mote. I'm telling you, I'd rather deal with a drunkard. The whoremonger's better. Compared to any other fault, that sensuous spirit, compared to any other fault, the other is a mote, a speck, a splinter. And that spirit that's always mean, finding wrong, shooting people down, always discovering the faults of that human being. Now that's how Jesus estimated the sensuous spirit. He says it is to other faults what a beam is to a splinter. See that beam? That's a laminated beam. He says that sensuous spirit is to other faults what that beam is there to a splinter. To a splinter. Every other thing is just a mote. The man may be a model man and everything else so far as society goes. Just may be ever impeccable, exact, punctual, honest. Yet has this miserable spirit of criticism, always finding fault with other people. Look, here's a man who will slander his neighbor by the hour, calls himself a Christian, and never doubts his own Christianity. You ever meet anybody like that? I mean, slander his neighbor by the hour, and yet call himself a Christian, never doubt his own Christianity. Always find them. He sends unorthodox thinkers to hell by the thousands, and he himself goes to slander his neighbor and engage in prayer. Yes, sir. This is what I'm talking about, what Jesus did. Never occurred to him that slander is a deadlier sin than intellectual error. Never, never. Here's a man who condemns every poor creature overtaken in a fault, has no sympathy with any of them. A brother is seen overtaken in a fault, so circumstance is repeated to the man who only indulges in slanderous criticism, and the man instantly calls for excommunication of that erring brother. Throw him out. Get rid of him. I mean, that's the only answer. He cannot see that he himself is drunk, not with wine, but drunk with hostile and unloving spirit. Drunk with it. Drunk with a feeling that rejoices in the slips and falls of other people. Are y'all tired of you just listening? Drunk with pleasure in the fact that other folks have failed. Other folks have missed it. I preach to myself loud and keenly as to any other man in this room. If so be, I've been guilty of this awful meanness and most detestable trick of the devil to speak unkindly of a human creature. Jesus said that's a beam in your eye. That compared, every other fall compared with it is just a splinter. Nothing so destroys as that spirit that's always pecking away, always tearing down what Christ is trying to build up. You know, trying to build up. People, if we just knew, you know, when the spirit gets upset, I've said this a lot, not enough, you know, it ain't been heard yet. We always talk too much. That's a terrible fault of the human. When we're when we're upset, when things are not going good, when we get hurt, then we always talk. Amen. Lady comes in. She's thinking about leaving her husband. She stretches that devil out for 30 minutes. Just telling him, I'm just getting out of it. You know, he's this. I said, why are you in here talking to me? Would you like to get it healed back together? Oh, yes. I said, well, then don't make him a devil to anybody else. I ain't going to let it get out of this office. But I said, what's going to happen is you're going to go around and tell everybody what a devil he is. Then God's going to straighten you up. You're going to come back in here holding his hand. And the folks are going to look at him and say, well, there she is back with that devil again. I mean, God will forgive. You forgive. But then people ain't going to ever forget it. He'll always be a devil because you made him a devil. You know, you talk. Instead of extolling the virtues of the human, you extol that bad side, so we never know. Never know, you know, the part that's really good. If my brother's fallen, and I have sunk so low down in my consciousness that I could hardly hear it myself, when I say it, it serves him right. You know, in your spirit. Well, I knew it was coming. God will give me a hell for that. Yes, sir. I said, hey, I wasn't being facetious. It'll come back around. The Bible said, he that delighteth in a calamity will not go unpunished. Yes, sir. It ain't no laughing matter when a brother's overtaken in a fault. When a man's down. That ain't no laughing matter. That's a brother. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, I do believe. I want to set all this record straight. I believe that there's something that you feel that is a problem or could be, then the spirit of love that you tell me, I believe that's not censorious, that's not slanderous. There's no hate in that. I've had that, head off a lot of deals at the Gap that otherwise would have created great problems just because somebody came. They didn't come with a hating spirit, a censorious spirit. I want you to know I want you sitting here that been that. I'm not talking about you in this spirit. I'm talking about that mean spirit that finds meanness because you like to find meanness. Have I ever said one unkind and thoughtless word about any human creature? It's been a beam in my eye while you're false, even if you've been untemperable or virtuous compared with such a sin. The unkindness. I'll tell you something. It's difficult to make it at the best, isn't it? There's a warfare. This sickness has come. There's family situations. There's problems. There's financial difficulties. Out of jobs. There's all kinds of things that we have to deal with. I got enough. Without being swung at by the ones that ought to love me. Got enough problems with the world trying to put us out of business without having the church shoot at me. You which are spiritual. You which are spiritual. Now we take this great truth lightly. We somehow think that a little slander is of no consequence. We've really got an attitude. We may not have made that a doctrine, but we've got an attitude that somehow we have a right, all of us. You know, all of us have been guilty. Talk about situations that ought never been talked about except to God. Condemn the drunkard. Turn out the man who by awful pressure has committed sin. Turn him out certainly. Never go after him. Never care for him. Only get rid of him. Then go home and speak unkindly of some man. Throw him out to the wolves. Then go home and talk bad about somebody, some woman, some child. Who was a great sinner? The drunkard we turned out? Or that judgmental person sitting there on the pew giving testimony to the world by sitting there? That I believe it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment. You don't know the meaning of Christ's gospel. You don't know the kingdom at all with that kind of a spirit. You don't know the kingdom at all if we bear that kind of a spirit. But I want to come to this verse 6 here. I believe here, if God would just somehow let us see what I believe Jesus is saying. You know, we've tried to make this in a witness. Listen to it. He said, give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and rend you again. Now we've cast not your pearls before swine. We've excused ourselves to witness into certain class of people on those grounds. I don't believe that has a thing on this earth to do with what's said there. Well, they're just down to the swine. A lot of you was too, but Paul writing to those, to the Corinthians, he talked about homosexuals and everything else, and he said, such were some of you. But now you're cleansed. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? No depth of hell on this earth that blood can't cleanse. And once it's cleansed, that's over. Never to be remembered. Have no right to point a finger at anything back beyond that point. Amen. He said, such were some of you, but we've used that as a cop-out, witnessing. Well, the Bible says, cast not your pearl before swine. You know, I know what kind of human that is. No, you really don't know. Some of the greatest saints ever was. You know, Samuel Hopkins Hadley. Amen. He waked up in that back alley, and the great keeper of that mission in Chicago, it's still operating. I don't know what it was, but out there was freezing. He woke up and his head was laying in the lap of the keeper. I know his name as well as mine, one of the great, you know, a lot of writing, but anyway, Samuel, when he waked up, his head was in the lap, and the keeper of the inn that found him there thought he was dead, and when he opened his eyes, he saw his life, so I kissed him on the cheek. And old Hadley said, nobody ever kissed me since my mother and I was a little boy. And he took him to that Pacific Gardens mission, and God saved him. And he became one of the greatest witnesses to an outcast world. This world has never known anything about. When Hadley died, they buried him under a mound of flowers as big as this church, and he had a greater funeral procession than the mayor had. Oh, don't call that swine. No, mister. It may be in a gutter, but there's a pearl there. Oh, we've so used that scripture and to cop out, to excuse ourselves, to talking to certain people. We was up in the camp meeting this last week, and we were in camp meeting. Man got up testifying, one of the preachers, and he said, I've never even told Brother Clendon about this. But he said, I had his film, The Judgment, and said, there's a fellow in the town, meanest man in town that I've been witnessing to, knew him. He's a drug dealer. He was everything. He was a drug addict, and he sold drugs, and he did it all. Mean, never could get to him. And said, I went over and one night, knocked on his door, and he opened and said, I've got something going to show you. Sat there and showed him that film. Said, nothing happened. Said, the man watched it through. He went home a little while later, man knocked on his door. When he opened the door, they stood crying, become one of the greatest Christians in that whole community. Now you can say, well, it's swine. No, it's swine. It's a lost man. But listen, here's the spirit of judgment that we're talking. Let me show you what I believe he meant here. How am I to know which is a dog or who is to classify as those who are no better than swine? How? How am I to know? Is not this the very spirit that's been condemned? Amen. No, we're not talking about people who belong to the same universe. We've been speaking, or rather hearing Christ speak about brothers' treatment of brother. We now hear him speak of those who are mere pretenders. Tares. Been speaking about brother's treatment to brother. Now he's dealing with those who are mere pretenders. The word, the brother drops out of the word brother drops out of the criticism, and other words are injected into the situation. You must speak your deepest thinking to the ears of sympathy. Now listen. You got trouble. You got to talk to ears that listen. Somebody, you got to talk. You must find out who has a spirit of communion with your spirit. You come to speak the heart secret to somebody. That's a pearl. You come. You're trouble. There's something happened. Your life's messed up. You're in trouble. You got to talk to somebody. Somebody that'll believe you. Listen, speak not in the ears of a fool. For he'll despise the wisdom of your words. The Bible says, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love thee. Amen. Speak not in the ears of a fool. Don't ever tell him your trouble. We all know what it is to be in want of sympathy. You have grief and you say, to whom can I talk? If I tell this one, I'll get it all back again. Don't ever tell the condition of your heart to folks that haven't been in the same place you are. Nothing on this earth any worse than to bare your heart to a human being of things that you didn't want, but you just had to talk, then find that coming back at you. They never kept it. I believe with all of my heart that's what he's talking about. Cast not your pearls before swine. You know, there's a time that every human being on this earth has to talk to somebody. Amen. You just have to talk. There's trouble. There's problems. And you went to what you thought was a friend. And you told. You bore your heart. You laid yourself open in a way that you wouldn't want anybody to know. But you just had to unload. And you hadn't got home till somebody else had already had it. Somebody else had already gotten a hold and had made it worse than what it was. That's what he's saying. Do not speak the secret of your heart to those who have not been in the same mental or spiritual anguish. They don't understand the graphic language of your experience. They've never been in the same darkness, fought the same battle, never drank the same bitter cup. No, sir. We've all had experience of this kind. We've told what we thought was a friendly heart some bitter thing that was troublous. It was actually come back in the form of falsehood, turned, and rend you again. That's what he said. Don't cast poor swine. He'll turn and rend you again. I've been rend. I spoke it because I felt I just had to unload. And I thought it was on a friendly ear, but I unloaded on the ear of a fool. The Bible told me not to do that. Now some hearing this message of Jesus will say, where is the gospel in that? Some people hearing this, where is the gospel? Well, you attempt to carry out the injunction in the text before you, and before you've gone two steps in the direction of accomplishment, you'll want Christ, I'll tell you that. You'll want Jesus. You'll find the gospel. Amen. Before you make two steps down the road carrying out the injunction here, you'll find yourself needing Jesus, wanting Jesus, loving Jesus. Some say it's pure negative. It's telling us what not to do. You try to realize the doctrine, you'll see how far merely negative we're talking about. You try to realize this in your life. If you sit down with the narrowness of the letter, You may call it negative, but if you carry it out in your life, if you never more have to slander a man, you'll soon know whether the doctrine is negative or not. You carry it out in your life, that you never again have to slander a human. It's courageous. It's courageous because the scribes and the Pharisees were the princes of slander. That's the way their life was conducted. It is spiritual because it searches the heart and lays down a principle which cannot be carried out by mere mechanism. Has to take the Holy Ghost to carry it out. Cannot be carried out otherwise. This is not a trick. This is the fruit of a renewed heart. Seeing, I've been wrong. Deep heartfelt repentance. There's this lady out of South Africa. She's on CBN. I don't watch a whole lot. I was in there doing other things. Phone rang. Lady called me and said, "You ought to look at this." And I turned it on. I've never seen anybody tap the nail on the head anymore straight. She dealt with once more coming to grips with ourselves, recognize what we are and who God is. Repenting. Getting right. Looking at ourselves. Have you been saying mean, unkind things about other people? That calls for an altar. That calls for repentance. Sometimes it calls for restitution. Not all the time. I think sometimes matters can be made worse, you know, just according to who you're dealing with. But yet it calls for deep heart searching on our part. And it is these kind of sins that's going to have to be dealt with for us to see the flow of the Holy Ghost that God really wants to give us. It's going to take this. This is practical. There's nothing sentimental in this. This is the eloquence of action. Thank God. If from this moment forward, all of us, everyone, could show the spirit of charity, we would strike the mocker dumb. You know that? We really would close the mouth of the world out there if we could be gripped with the spirit of charity that refused our ears to listen to any unkind word about another and refused to let these lips utter. You know, I think if we really rebuked the person that tried to tell us, we'd help them. Amen. I said we'd help them. Or if they rebuked us, you know, "I don't want to hear your trash." You know, you may go home about a while, but after you think about it a while, you'll be a little slow about shoving it off on somebody else. Isn't that right? Take a little while before you go to want to come. You know, if you just tell you straight out, "I don't want to hear that trash." Amen. Tell it to God. Go to the brother you're talking about. Go to talk to him. Why talk to me about Steve Croson? Go talk to Steve Croson. Why talk to him about me? You know, there's a lady here in town. I've known her. She's a chiropractor, and she called me up. And she said, "Well, I appreciate what the Lord's are doing. I understand you're going to build." And I said, "Well, we're planning on it." She said, "Well, I just want to tell you, a lot of you people are coming to me, and they're concerned about you going to build." I said, "What are you, some kind of guru? Why are they coming to you? Come to me. Why are they coming to you? You don't belong here." I said, "We had a meeting. We make up our mind what we're going to do. We're not asking you." "Amen. These people run over here to you." "Oh, well," she said. I said, "Oh, well, nothing. We'll make up our mind. Whether we do or don't, it'll be our business, not yours." And I want to tell you, if you one of them running over there, I doubt if anybody was, but if you one of them running over there, you need to run up here. You belong here. You belong here. The people talks now to us, not off out there to that. If that person had their way to do about this, it'd been gone a long time ago. They never voted to keep it here. You and me fought the storms with it. Me and you talk it over. No use in going out there. You know, Jezebel, the church in Israel, believes she is a prophetess because she said she was. And she may well believe she was, but she wasn't. And there's a lot of people out there believe they've got the mind of God, don't have. But a lot of people believe they do because they say they do. Them kind of people just Well, I'll leave that out. I said I wasn't going to slander nobody no more. He has his best on us when he hears us criticizing one another, the devil. You know that? He's got his biggest foot in the door. Now, you know, one fall, no matter how big, you know, we've had all this immoral situation that's took place, heartbreaking. I can tell you the church will rise up above that and walk on. Amen. Somebody drop out, commit adultery, church will walk on. That won't give it near as much trouble as that and sits down in the middle of it and criticizes his brother. That and sits down next to you in church and hollers, praise the Lord with you, then tells the next person talks to that don't believe you right. You got to be honest. Thelma was in this church one night. We was having hallelujah time singing. Lady not hearing the most down there singing by, told Thelma, said, you just can't carry a tune at all. Ain't that right, Thelma? That wasn't exact words, Reverend said. But you see, you got to admire. She didn't go around telling, she didn't come tell me Thelma couldn't sing. She told Thelma she couldn't sing. Right or wrong. I want to tell that because Thelma laughed and laughed and told me about it. We were just talking about somebody we both knew. I know I can't sing. Tell me. You know, it's awful to get around. Somebody said, you know, somebody said you couldn't sing. It hurts. You come tell me. But I can tell you, if we let God's Spirit take a hold of us, that we allow none of that, we've gained a foothold on the devil. And we've shut him out in his greatest door in among us. We've broke his hold of his greatest stranglehold. Amen. I can tell you what. I said to a man one time, the worst president we ever had is better than the best dictator that ever lived. Amen. And the poorest saint you ever met is better than the worst sinner, or the best sinner, rather, that you will ever rub shoulders with. And that poor saint doesn't need anybody bad-mouth him about his weakness. It needs somebody to tell him, you can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Let's stand, just worship God here tonight.